Hi, this is Lou Bordeaux from The Canon. So you know you've got someone special in your organization when, having played in a total of just 37 hockey games between Columbus and Springfield, the Blue Jackets made it a high priority to go out and re-sign my special guest today. Welcome, Cody Bass.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great, Cody. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, this is not a problem at all. Anytime.
Good, good. Cody, there's a terrific picture of you with the Calder Cup held high on the AHL's website. What was it like as a number 7 seed just about a year ago in the East and made the run all the way through the Calder Cup?
Well, you know what? The team that we had last year was a very special group of guys. The whole experience was amazing, you know, from start to finish. We had new coaches last year in Binghamton. We had a couple of new faces, but yet again, there's a couple guys, you know, I think Derek Smith and I were the last group of guys from, you know, from our draft year in our first year. So, to be a part of Binghamton for 4 years up and down with them in Ottawa, and to see what that city has faced the past couple of years, you know, especially with the economy and, you know, not having a winning team there, to finally bring a championship there was amazing, and it was one of the better cities I've ever played in, for sure.
Nice, really good to hear. And that picture on the AHL website, if anybody hasn't been to theahl.com, you get the splash page, and there's Cody with the Calder Cup held high, and just pure exhilaration on your face.
Oh, well, there's two pictures. There's one with a front picture of me where my face is just, you know, wide open, and then there's a back picture as well, but it was awesome. I remember after we won, we celebrated on the ice, and then we went in the dressing room, and, you know, I remember sitting in my stall looking at Derek Smith, and Tim Murray came down, and it was just like, wow, you know, went through a lot in that organization, and, you know, a lot of years without making playoffs as well, so, you know, the 1 year we do make playoffs, we actually end up winning it all, so it was definitely a huge accomplishment.
Just a great story. Now, that being said, just over a month later, the Blue Jackets announced that you signed with them as a free agent. Now, did you have anything in particular that made you choose Columbus as your new team?
You know, I had a couple offers from teams, and, you know, my agent, you know, was very good. He did his research, and we kept going back to Columbus and Chris McFarland and Scott Housen just because, you know, I think, from what we understand, is they're, you know, they try to come after me a year or two before that as well, and especially the way they approach the game and the players, you know, they bring into their organization, and we thought it would be a really good fit for me to join that organization. You know, they're very respectable with guys down in the minors, where if you're playing well, you deserve a chance, and they'll find a way to give you an opportunity up top, so that was something I was really, you know, looking forward to, because I feel, especially in this league, in the AHL, where there's a lot of guys around other teams that play well enough and deserve a chance but don't get a chance. So to be a part of this organization and to be a part, you know, with Scott Housen and Chris McFarland, where they have that approach where if you deserve a chance, you'll get a chance. So we just thought it was a very good fit, especially with my type of game and the way I play.
What's good to hear. Now, speaking of your type of game, playing for the Jackets from mid-October through the 1st of December, you brought a really special brand of high energy to the team. Have the fans of Columbus, in your opinion, seen the best of Cody Bass, or do you think there's still more upside to the Cody Bass brand of hockey?
You know what? I don't want to comment too much on what Columbus faced this year, but when I came up there, you know, the team was going through hard times, and I know my role up there, especially in that league, it's, you know, third, fourth line player, and that's what I do. I try to bring some energy, and I play hard and play physical. You know, I'll fight when I have to, et cetera. But, you know what, for me, there's still more. I still have this fire in me, and with Scott Housen and Chris McFarland signing me, you know, especially right when the season ended here, you know, I feel I owe it to them, the organization, to work even harder, and I still have that goal where I feel like I'm playing the NHL. So for me, it's about, you know, playing in the NHL still. I still have that dream, and I feel like accomplish that, and you know, to all the people that said I couldn't do it and would never do it, you know, I'd like to prove people wrong, so hopefully I can do that one day.
I was going to say that's exactly it. Nice to have the opportunity to prove them wrong. Now, during your time up top, Cody, there were nights that you skated while a guy like Ryan Johansson was a healthy scratch. And I think everybody understands that to be a coach's decision. But do you feel there was any added pressure on you to perform while somebody who comes with a lot of notoriety like Ryan ends up sitting upstairs and waits for his spot to open up?
No, not at all. For me, you know, I've been through a lot of it. You know, I just finished my fifth year pro, but I've been through a lot with injuries and being up and down. You know, there wasn't any added pressure. I think for a guy like Ryan, he's a great hockey player. He's a great kid. I ended up living with him for a little while too, and I think he's got, you know, some learning to do, and I think he's still developing his game and maturing as a player and as a person. So, you know, I didn't look at it as an, you know, I have any added pressure. For me, I was just happy to be given an opportunity, and for me, I was just trying to run with my chance there and try to play well and do my job.
Nice, and I don't think there'd be too many people that disagreed that you didn't perform well, and your level of energy. You know, the games that I was able to see, I was pretty pleased with Cody Bass's brand of hockey. Now, after a transition back to Springfield, Scott Housen put on his blog that you had injured your shoulder during a practice on December 19th, and he thought it was severe enough that you needed season-ending surgery at the time for repair. Was there anything out of the ordinary that caused that injury, or was it just a matter of being in the wrong place at the wrong time?
It was all about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was a very, very, very awkward situation. I can't believe it happened to me. I've hurt that shoulder before. I've had surgery on it before. And it felt great. I've had no issues since, knock on wood. And I just fell awkwardly, and it just popped out as a very, very disappointing moment of my year, for sure.
Right.
But, you know, just like you said, wrong place, wrong time.
Man, oh man. Now, after that, after Housen writes up in his blog that you were done for the season, you're back in the lineup less than 4 weeks later. Take us through that, if you can.
For me, it was, you know, when you sign with a new organization, for me, it was about trying to make an impression and trying to get my name out there. You know, the goal as a player trying to make it in the NHL is, you know, you got to have people like you. You got to have people, you know, want you a part of their team. And I felt we had a great team in Springfield. With everything that went on in the organization, you know, up in Columbus and Springfield with injuries, I think combined total between both teams, there's something like 700 man games lost. Like, that's insane. Like,
yeah, I've never seen anything like it.
To have that many injuries was crazy. And, you know, with all the injuries that we had in Springfield and guys missing, guys going up and down, losing Bizey sometimes, losing Cam and Rusty, I still feel there is enough character in that dressing room and enough good players to make playoffs. And we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit, you know, halfway through the season. No, I think 1 month we won maybe three or four games. I can't remember what it was, but
right.
We shot ourselves in the foot. At the end of the day, I still can't believe that we didn't make playoffs. We were so close, and we still had a good team. And for me, when I hurt my shoulder, it was about, I wanted to be a part of it. You know, my mind was, oh, we're going to make playoffs, and I want to do what I can to help this team win and to make playoffs, because, you know, you make playoffs, especially with a team that hasn't made playoffs in a long time. It doesn't matter if you're on the ice or up in the stands. You are a part of it, and you were a help in some way. So I knew I needed surgery at some time, but I wasn't ready to have the surgery right away. I wasn't ready to quit, because I still felt I could try to play, and I spoke to doctors, and you know, Tom, our trainer here at Springfield, we worked really hard on trying to gain some strength back in my shoulder, and I had to wear a big brace during the games, and I couldn't fight, but, you know, I still felt I was able to help the team win. So it was a very tough decision and a risky one on my part.
Yeah, now, that being well aware of your passion, Cody, with a banged-up shoulder like that, at what point in your mind do you decide to put the needs of the team ahead of the health of Cody Bass?
The there was going to come a point where I was going to have to make a decision. I knew that, the team knew that, my agent knew that. First off, it was, you know, trying to see how the rehab went at first to see if I could get strength back and see if my shoulder would slide out again. And if it didn't, I was going to come back and try to play, which I did. But, you know, at that time, I was unsigned, and I could not finish the season off without doing my surgery because I, you know, it's a 4 to 6 month rehab, and for me, at that point, I was unsigned, and I had to be ready for my next year's training camp.
Right.
Whether at that point it was with, you know, Columbus or another organization, I couldn't go into the summer knowing that I wasn't going to be healthy for my next training camp, so... it was about doing some math and trying to figure out how long the rehab was going to be and what was the best case scenario for me to be ready for next season.
Excellent. Now, coming back, and like you say, wearing that brace and everything, I felt your last weekend of the season that you played was pretty memorable. You had the two-goal night against Syracuse, and then that scene that was pretty much right out of Slapshot when Steve McIntyre and Wilkes-Barre went after Paulie Dayton. Does anything stand out in your mind from that weekend in particular?
I think everything stands out. It was a big weekend for us as a team. We needed some wins. We kind of blew it there against Wilkes-Barre. We had the lead. And for me, it was, you know, it was a great way to finish off personally my season. But, you know, as a team, we needed some points and we needed to win. And, you know, the Steve McIntyre thing, that's hockey. It happens. And might have to happen more, especially in the AHL, than it does in the NHL. But, you know, it's hockey. It's all part of the game. But at the same time, you know, we needed to get some points, and we didn't. Again, that kind of shot us in the foot there for kind of making playoffs.
Well, see, it seemed like at parts of the season, the club just had difficulty, and they couldn't catch a break a lot of times, whether it was... a freak third period goal that sent a game to overtime. There's one game in particular comes to mind that Connecticut was in town and Wojtek Volski happened to be down with them at the time on a rehab from the Rangers, and the guy has been adequate the last couple years, but all of a sudden he was like the second coming of Gretzky out there and just dominated the ice and ended up with the overtime winner. And it was another case where you guys certainly outplayed them. You deserve the 2 points, but you walk away with one.
Yeah. You know, I look at it, and I think if you talk to, you know, a few guys in our team, I think the majority of games that we played, we just didn't compete for 60 minutes. And hockey nowadays, you know, you can survive for 40, but you won't win with 40 minutes. You know, you gotta play a full of 60 minutes, especially with our team having injuries like we had, or call-ups like we had this year. You know, we had to play, you know, smart and safe and keep it simple. And, you know, sometimes we didn't do that with turnovers and stuff. But, again, it's part of the game. It's the way it goes. But, you know, winning teams, they show up every night and play for 60 minutes. And, you know, we didn't do that this year. At times we did, and at times I think the group of guys that, you know, were on the ice proved themselves and to others that there was a good team here. We just were kind of weary and inconsistent during the year.
Right. Now, at the last game of the season, the Booster Club presented their annual awards, and I've got to admit it was great to see you back on the ice at the MassMutual Center to collect your award. On a personal level, does receiving an end-of-season award like that reduce the sting of an injury-shortened season at all?
You know what, Booster Club, I think, on every team, especially in this league, goes kind of unnoticed a little bit. So for them to present me with an award was a great honor. It was, you know, it's nice to have people that look up to you and support you in every way. Does it take away the sting of my season being over? No, it definitely does. You know, it's upsetting. It's upsetting that I couldn't be out there with, you know, the group of guys I've been with all year. You know, nobody wants to be in the stands with, you know, a sling around their arm. So we get paid to play hockey, and that's our job. And, you know, for me to be up in the stands, I'm not doing my job. So there's only one place I'd rather be, and that's on the ice. So, no, it doesn't take away the sting at all.
Gotcha. Nice. In addition to having earned that award from the Booster Club. In the meantime, the Jackets reach out and they re-sign you. You've got to consider that as a positive, knowing that you've had an impact like that on the organization, right?
Oh, for sure. And Columbus is very good with me. They treated me very well all year, from start to finish. And especially, you know, I've only played, like you said, I think it was 30-some games this year. They helped me out big time on a comfort level, you know, going into the summer knowing that I have a contract, knowing, you know, I'm going back to Columbus for a training camp and then to do it all over again, you know, try to earn a spot up there. But I'm down here, that's fine with me because, you know, it's going to be a good team. They helped me out a lot. I feel it's a great organization. I feel Scott Howe and Chris McFarland are great people, great hockey people. You know, the coaches that we had this year in Springfield, you know, from Rob Larson, Prater were great guys, great coaching staff. You know, Bruce in Springfield's a great GM. It's a family-like environment in this organization. That's what I really like. You know, they build relationships and they're very personable with their players, but at the same time, they understand, and we have to understand as players, it's a business. This is our job, and if you don't do your job, there's always somebody there that will do it. So I'm very happy with the signing, and I hope they are. And like I said, it gives me a fire to work even harder, you know, because they've helped me out here this past year. So that's my goal, is to go into Columbus and hopefully earn a spot.
Cool. Now, speaking of Rob, on Monday, Chris McFarland announced that Rob won't be back as the Falcons head coach next season. We also saw a midseason change up with the Jackets this year. Now, from a player's perspective, Cody, do changes like those play any part in the way that you focus on next season? Or what do you see as the biggest challenge as next season approaches?
I won't comment on the Columbus situation with their coaches. You know, I was only there for a short period of time, but with Rob Riley, it was it was a shock. You know, Rob was a great guy. He was a good coach, and like I said, we had great coaches this year with Rob Larson and Prater.
Right.
But as a player, I think we can't we can't sit and frown upon that. Like I said, it's part of the business, it's part of the job, it's a dirty side of it, for sure. But, you know, as a player, it's a side that we got to understand, and it happens, and if it happens to coaches, it can easily happen to players as well, where if you don't perform, you know, you don't get signed. So I think, you know, it's, I think for the young guys that we had this year, and for first-year players, this should be a sign being like, you know, this is, we play hockey for a living. It's a fun game for sure, but this is our job. You know, it's a career, and you know, it's a business. So we can't sit there and frown upon it. We gotta show up every day now this summer when we start training and take it seriously and do our job. So we get paid to play during the year, but we also get paid to be in shape and then train our butts off over the summertime. So it's a never-ending process for us, and we gotta have that mentality.
That's a good point, Cody. Speaking of training, I was aware that strength coach in Springfield, Dan Gregory, sent the guys home with off-season workout regimens so that the team will be ready to hit it hard as soon as camp opens. Now, as far as rehabbing your shoulder, are you going to have to do anything special to work on that? And I know you mentioned earlier a 4 to 6 month period. Are you expecting to be 100% when camp opens?
Yeah, first off, you know, Dan and Kevin up in Columbus, they did a great job for with their summer programs and making sure we have all the tools that we need for the summer. I give them huge props for that. It was great. For the summertime for myself, you know, I'm still not even cleared yet to start doing rehab on my shoulder. I kind of still got to wear my sling and keep my elbow by my side. So hopefully I'll be cleared within the next 2 weeks, and then after that it's going to be a long process for me. I've talked to my family, I've talked to my girlfriend. It's going to be the hardest summer of my life because, you know, there's going to be a lot of things I can't do this summer. Trying to make sure my shoulder heals up properly, but at the same time I'm trying to get strength back and strengthen even more and stronger than what it was. It's going to be a really tough summer for me personally. So it's something that I've kind of, I'm still in Springfield, and The past 2-3 weeks, me and Nick Holden have been, you know, we work out legs, you know, as much as we can for 3 or 4, sometimes 5 days a week here still. So it's going to be a really tough summer, and I'm looking forward to the challenge, though. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I don't think your fans would expect anything less than a full 100% Cody Bass type effort in that. And I'm sure that all the Blue Jackets and Falcons fans wish you all the best on that front, Cody. I'd like to come full circle as we close this up, Cody. In addition to winning the Calder Cup last year, you also earned the Yannick Dupre AHL's Man of the Year Award for your work with Cody Bass Wings Foundation. How can Blue Jackets and or Falcons fans help with that cause?
That's something that's still a part of me. You know, with the reason that it started was a touching subject with me and you know, the Richardson family and Darren Richardson passing away. It's something that I really want to continue with. You know, you can always, there's a Wings website, or you can always, you know, donate money to Wings through the website. I think it's wings.com. I got to make sure that it's still going properly. There's a lady that helped me out, Jen O'Brien, and Binghamton. She did a lot of work for me, and she was all over me this year.
Yeah, I believe the website, Cody, is called CodyBassWings.com.
Yeah, and it was something that I really wanted to continue doing this year in some way, but with, you know, my season that I had, I was in Springfield for, you know, 2 weeks, and I got called up to Columbus, and for me, my goal was trying to stick in Columbus, and then I get sent down. Then I hurt my shoulder, and then I got to do rehab to try to come back, and I come back, play three games, and or two games, and I get a concussion. I miss, you know, 3 weeks of that, and I come back, and I play three games, and I get a three-game suspension, and then I play three games, and my season was over. So it was a very, very tough season for me, mentally and physically, but that's something that I've spoke to the Springfield PR guys with about next year. And it's definitely something that I'm going to continue here on doing next year. So hopefully we can get lots of support there from the fans and you know, from local people in Springfield.
Well, it's good to hear, Cody, and I'm sure that whether you're listening to this in Columbus, in Springfield, or anywhere in between, that you'll want to check out CodyBassWings.com. Just a very worthwhile organization. And Cody Bass, I just have to say thank you. It's been an honor to speak to you today. Hope we can do it again sometime.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it. Thank you.